Institute on Aging, and Tracy Morgan, Project Manager at Portland's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. At 11:30, Voices for the Animals with host Dab Stedman. Today's guest is Seth Tibbott, the founder and chairman of the Tofurky Company. That'll be interesting. Okay, that's KBOO coming up. This has been the Old Mole Variety Hour. We'll be back again Monday morning next week.
Listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM,
KBOO.fm on the web. Engineering today for us is Natasha Delaney. We're going to do a little weather and then we're going to do a lot of news in a short period of time. Today's weather sunny with a high around 84, calm winds tonight. A little bit of a few clouds are moving in and a low around 59. Northwest wind 6 to 11 miles per hour. You could get a few gusts up to 18, however. And for tomorrow, cloudy through mid morning. And then gradual clearing, highs around 82. Do you know what's bizarre about that? Is that if you look at the little pictures that accompany these predictions, it's all sunny and clear, but nonetheless, here are the words for you. We're expecting a high of 82 tomorrow and light northwest winds 5 to 9 in the afternoon. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, lows around 59. And northwest winds around 10 miles per hour. That's it for the weather, however strange and bizarre that might sound. Know one thing and know it well. It's going to be a hot one today, but not anything like what the rest of the summer is going to feel like. That said, a lot more of hand-wringing and panty-clutching going on in markets around the world. The Dow dropped another 300 points to kick off the day, and the EU is beginning its meeting, its annual meeting in Brussels. So for once, they're going to have a lot to talk about. But right here in Cascadia, once again, as we say, where we plant our feet, we have a lot happening right in front of us. I want to just quickly mention that the Bureau of Land Management is on a path to sterilize wild horses on U.S. rangeland. That, and get this, the Supreme Court vacated the conviction of Virginia's ex-governor. Now, of course, that means it's going to be harder to prosecute officials for corruption. Wow, and we really should have of a long line of people who are now going to break and run for the horizon. So Supreme Court today also struck down parts of a very, very restrictive Texas law. Most people have heard about it. It would seriously reduce the number of clinics for women's health and abortion to perform in the state from 10 to what's a high of about 40. And more on the Willamette River cleanup, but right now all of that might be a moot question if they do run those oil trains to a huge terminal in Vancouver. That's what we're here to talk about today. Brett Vandenhoevel is our guest, and he'll be joining us in just a minute. This, of course, this is what's known as an adjudication process. The Washington Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council, or EFSEC, begins the process, so this huge proposed Tesoro Savage Terminal. It'll be a trial-like hearing beginning and ending in Vancouver. It's due to last about a month. Different parties presenting detailed evidence about why the council should approve or deny the project. There is actually only one reason that those in favor of this thing have, and that's jobs. And that is an issue, a question that is easily addressed. But right now we've got Brett to talk to us about this whole project. Good morning, Brett. Thank you very, very much on extremely short notice joining us today on Air Cascadia.
Good morning, Chris. Happy to be here.
We're really glad to have you. Okay, so this is starting. It's going to be today, and it's on right now. I believe a rally started at 8 a.m. Have you heard any word back about that?
Yeah, so today is the start of this long process by the Washington Energy Council. And yeah, we had over 200 people there early this morning, rallied outside, and they've started this this adjudication, which is kind of a trial-like procedure. The first, my coworker Dan Sears is there for Riverkeeper this morning, and he just texted back the opening statements from Tesoro. The oil company said that the oil train derailment and explosion in Mosier happened, exactly how it was supposed to, and or the cleanup of it and the reaction, and so that everything is fine. So they're actually trying to spin this as, you know, everything's okay, let's bring more trains.
You're kidding me. That's a stunner. I wonder how many people actually would buy that line of reasoning, especially, and we've covered this a little bit on Air Cascadia, but another question that has not come up in these proceedings that have we've been part of is that Union Pacific and other rail lines, BNSF, the ones that of course we would expect to be supplying this terminal, have a terrible safety record. We haven't heard that because it's been hushed up. Anyone who dares blow the whistle on them has been ferociously retaliated against. They've lost their job, and much worse has happened to anyone who dares voice any complaints or observations about the way rail companies flaunt safety regulations. And I do mean flaunt. The list of what they do to avoid following any of OSHA's guidelines is just extraordinary. So that making it all the more likely that another far worse incident is going to happen, because although there are safety regulations, they are not observed because people are frightened of saying anything about it. That said, more on what's the difference between an adjudication meeting and other public gatherings that have taken place, other formats?
Yeah, there's been a lot of different meetings about this. This is basically what's happening today and throughout the month is the Energy Council is hearing from the parties who are, you know, have an interest in this. And it's not a public hearing where the public gets to talk anymore. It's mostly the lawyers presenting. So there's 18 different groups or parties, many conservation groups, but also the city of Vancouver is opposing this. Multiple cities, the city of Spokane, Clark County has weighed in saying that their jail is in dangerous proximity to the oil terminal and they think it's unacceptable, the proposed oil terminal. So it's a chance for everyone to make their arguments in front of this board that'll make a recommendation to Governor Inslee, who will make the ultimate decision. So it's a little more detail, you know, there's experts involved instead of the typical 2 or 3 minutes the public gets to talk about this. So, I mean, we're excited to make the case. We think that this is an absolute wrong move for Vancouver and for the Pacific Northwest. And, I mean, essentially, people who are familiar with the Keystone XL pipeline, you know, they're proposing nearly half the capacity of Keystone to be brought in to basically through downtown Vancouver on these explosive oil trains. I mean, it's an absolutely insane proposal. And, you know, we think that the Energy Council will hear that from many, many different people and that Tesoro and the oil companies, arguments that are safe, it's just, you know, they're just not going to be able to say that in a very compelling way after this oil train explosion, not to mention all the other explosions over the last several years and the oil industry's poor safety record. And like you mentioned, Chris, the rail industry's has a notorious record as well.
Yeah, it's the safety regulations are routinely ignored. I wonder too, I've got a question that bothers me is they estimate that the expected maximum foreseeable costs of a catastrophic accident associated with the project are somewhere in the range of $5 to $6 billion. I would say they were seriously lowballing it at that number. I don't know how it could possibly be. I mean, they are. Should something happen as pointed out, in the middle of Vancouver, adjacent, right next to the jail and other densely populated areas, that seems, I don't know. I don't know how you would go about projecting a cost. I suppose they have to, but that would, of course, change. That's now. That's in 2016, but that's likely to change. And I wondered if you could just what does that cover as far as what are we're paying for that? By the taxpayers are paying for that. I understand. Tesoro Savage has virtually no financial liability, responsibility, or have they? How does this work out? I don't understand how an accident in Vancouver would be that would be the cost of cleaning it up.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, it's impossible to put a dollar value on human life, and we've seen, the 3 years ago in Lac-Mégantic, Quebec, 47 people died when an oil train exploded and incinerated part of their downtown. What happened there was the rail line quickly went bankrupt, and some of the oil companies tried to pool some money to fund some of this, but the bottom line is that one of these worst case but very possible scenarios is uninsurable. There's been articles of experts talking about there is not enough insurance available in the free market to cover something like this. It's just impossible.
That's so, more realistic.
Right. So it's a real, we're rolling the dice again if this gets approved. And, know, we're hopeful that the Governor Inslee will recognize that public safety and put an end to this.
And so legal briefs submitted by a number of these interested parties, of course, City of Vancouver, of course, first up, and Spokane, Clark County, and the Columbia Waterfront Development, just looking at a few of these. And I wonder how, though, this is going to roll through areas of wilderness. And I wonder, is anyone speaking? Who speaks for the wilderness? Who speaks for areas that we really can't afford to lose?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of attention right now about, you know, the communities that these are rolling through, which, you know, obviously one of our strongest concerns. But yeah, they're rolling through forest lands where fires could be, you know, if that explosion had happened in Mosier in a remote area, it very likely would have been a very large fire, especially, you know, at different times with different wind conditions in the summer. And then the tracks also run right along the Columbia River for, you know, well over 100 miles. And so there's huge amount of risks in many different places too.
And of course, Indigenous people, First Nations would, if we lived in a just world, would have the final say on this, and they have clearly and loudly said no to it. Brett, thank you so much for joining us. Again, I want to say on short notice, and we're very, very grateful to you for that. We've been speaking with Brett Vandelhoover with the Columbia Riverkeeper. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, June 27th, 2016. As I said before, Natasha Dubriana is engineering for us today. Thanks, Natasha. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.